This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Bram.
And I'm Alex Cohen. Just ahead, reality TV. This summer, it's America's Got Talent Season 3, the Two Corey Season 2, and the premiere of a new reality show where teenage couples borrow other people's kids.
Oh, boy. Well, first, where we got all this reality TV, Great Britain. Let's check in now with the relatively new prime minister there. This Friday, Gordon Brown marks his one-year anniversary as Britain's leader. It has not gone well. The man once called the Iron Chancellor for his handling of the economy now has little to celebrate. Vicky Barker reports from London.
Mr. Brown has a country to run, and he's a very serious man.
Forget opinion polls. You know you're really in trouble when they start satirizing you on children's television.
No, Mr. Brown, don't you dare.
Oh, jelly. Oh.
And who's going to clean that up?
Custard.
Can the Prime Minister explain why this week he has become Britain's least popular Prime Minister ever?
Mr. Speaker, I shall leave the schoolboy politics to him.
Even his worst critics feel a little sorry for Gordon Brown these days. Lately, eminent supporters in his own Labour Party, like Lord Desai, have been saying Brown and his cabinet need to start facing some uncomfortable facts.
The cabinet has to say, either we require a changed, improved Gordon Brown, or somebody has to say, please, for the sake of the party, which you love, move over.
It wasn't like this 1 year ago.
That's right. Tony Blair said that in all probability, in a few weeks' time, the country will have a Scottish Prime Minister.
After Tony Blair grudgingly relinquished his job to his former friend and mentor, Brown enjoyed a brief burst of public support. Voters found his dour manner a welcome change from what many had come to see as Blair's shallow charisma. But Brown's halo soon began to fade. He promised to champion the poor, then raised their taxes. He ridiculed opposition plans to cut inheritance tax, then did exactly that. He said he'd submit to a popular vote. Then, when the opposition Conservative Party began gaining in the polls, he dithered and delayed, and then canceled those election plans entirely. Insiders describe a humorless technocrat, a control freak at his desk by 4 a.m. to read files he refuses to delegate, then putting off decisions until entire departments are paralyzed.
The frown is one of the defining aspects of him.
Commentator Quentin Letts.
The hunched shoulders, there's something very rounded about the shape of him, and it's more rounded than perhaps his personality. That's a horrible thing to say, perhaps, but he just doesn't seem to be conveying any sort of ease in the job.
One columnist has invoked Shakespeare, saying Brown embodies the jealousy of Othello, the ambition of Macbeth, and the indecision of Hamlet. The result, in only one of the last 12 opinion polls, has Brown's governing Labour Party scored above a 30% approval rating.
Edward Timpson, Conservative, 20,539.
Last month's loss in a special election was more dismal news for Labour.
So if you take a tax credit, it's organised on a household basis.
This is Gordon Brown answering the question, have you learned from that tax the poor mistake?
And we didn't quite know all the effects that would happen on individual families.
Not the kind of warmth that wins hearts. Or
some
minds.
Were eligible for the working tax credit, some who weren't.
The hearty pronouncements of Labour Party press releases tell one story, that Brown remains the best man for the job. But you hear a different story from the opinion polls and the pundits. And from the academics and lampoon artists who each in their own way take the public's pulse.
Stop it, Mr. Brown. You'll hurt yourself. I told you so. Now go to your room, you silly man.
For NPR News, I'm Vicky Barker in London.